Well, pathology labs in New South Wales are operating at full tilt as they process the thousands of swabs from residents across the state. But the New South Wales Premier and the Chief Health Officer have expressed concern about the sudden decline in testing rates. Just 16,000 samples were collected yesterday. They want daily testing numbers to hit between 20 and 30,000. Professor Dominic Dwyer is Director of Public Health at New South Wales Health Pathology. I spoke to him earlier and asked him about the public appeal for more testing.
Well, look, I think the key to managing this outbreak in New South Wales has been aggressive and early testing. So we've been doing that really from the get-go. It's been shown that the more you test, obviously the more likely you are to pick up positive cases. And really the amount of testing in the last 2 weeks has been extraordinary. Of course, we all worry when the testing numbers decrease because we think, well, are we missing cases by not testing everybody? So that's why there's always a pretty constant request for people to come forward.
Is it clear why the numbers have fallen away so quickly, given there were numbers around the 60,000 mark just before Christmas?
Look, there's a number of factors that contribute to this. First of all, I think perhaps a week or 2 weeks ago, there was a high level of anxiety, just had been identifying new cases in the Northern Beaches, which hadn't had a lot of activity before. Everybody was worried. Everybody knew that a lockdown was going to happen or possible. Everyone knew Christmas was coming and all the shopping and the family activities and all of that sort of stuff, the holidays, all of that was potentially going to contribute to easier spread of the virus. So for those reasons, I think the community themselves figured out that it was a very good idea to be tested. So the numbers really went up in the surge of activity. Now, there's no doubt that fatigue can set in. People get a bit kind of sick of it. People who've had one test think, well, why do I need another one? But again, that's still important, particularly if they get any symptoms. So it's a combination of factors that contribute to the rise and fall and rise again in testing numbers.
And are the labs working 24/7? What's the roster look like?
Oh, well, look, again, one really want, it'd be really good to shout out to the laboratory workers because they have been going 24/7. We started off initially with just the one lab at Westmead doing this right at the very beginning. It's now expanded to well over 35 public laboratories in New South Wales, including small ones in rural and regional areas. And the private sector have also stepped up. We've rolled out testing really dramatically in a widespread fashion to make sure that everybody doesn't have to go too far to get a test and that the results don't take too long.
The government wants testing numbers to sit around the 20 to 30,000 mark each day. Are the labs geared up to manage those numbers?
They are. So, again, there's a massive scramble for all of this sort of work early in the piece, March and April of this year when we had a lot of activity of COVID-19 in Sydney with a lot of rapid paddling in the water. There was the opportunity to get a lot of equipment and people trained and so on. So we now have that capacity built in. So there's not a capacity issue so much as an issue of getting the public in for testing and having the public, understand why, where they can go, how they do it, keep coming back and that sort of stuff's a communication issue as much as anything else.
The emergence of these new strains of COVID, will that pose a particular challenge for the labs at all?
It's something that the labs always do regularly. So, for example, in our lab, at Westmead, if you take something like influenza, which, everybody knows changes and mutates every year, well, we check each year that our laboratory tests are going to capture any new strains or variants that might appear. The same thing with COVID-19. So there have been new mutations emerge, as you would expect with one of these sorts of viruses. Whether these impact on the laboratory is something that's actually looked at very carefully. What we do is we actually have some redundancy built into it. So in our testing, we test for a couple of parts of the virus genetic material, not just one bit. So if there's a mutation in one bit, we've got other bits that might come up that help us confirm whether the infection is there. And so with the variant that's being discussed in the United Kingdom and the same from the one in South Africa and other places as well, we check those against our tests regularly to make sure that we're not missing them.
You're heading to China as part of a team of experts exploring the origins of coronavirus. When do you go? Do you have a date on when you will set off?
Look, it looks as though it'll be next week sometime. There's still issues around sorting out visas and those sorts of things. But the plan will be to go next week, and everybody from the different parts of the world that are coming in will try and all sort of arrive around the same time, because everyone has to do 2 weeks in quarantine in China as well. And so we want everybody to be doing that around the same time so people can work and start getting underway with things even while they're in quarantine.
I wonder whether you have any concerns about your ability to thoroughly investigate and about the transparency from officials in China, given the arrest of a citizen journalist who'd been reporting on the outbreak in Wuhan.
Look, I don't have any concerns. I mean, of course, there's always an anxiety about going off and doing this sort of work. But, look, my experience with SARS back in 2003 was that once you sort of spoke to your peer group, if you like, in China, the other scientists and doctors and so on, everybody wants to know what's going on, them included. I mean, there's clearly politics around it, and people make commentary in political circles or in the media, but my job, I'm not paid enough to be a politician, so my job is to focus on the science and to do that as well as can be done. I don't think we're going to find an immediate answer on day one, but hopefully put in place some mechanisms to help the people on the ground in China and indeed elsewhere in the world, you know, work out how to do the right sorts of investigations to find out the origins of the virus.
You're not at all concerned about your safety?
No, I'm not concerned about my safety at all. I've been to China on a number of occasions for work and never had any anxiety about it from the safety point of view at all. So I don't see that this would be any different. I mean, you could say that the World Health Organization is a very important international body. So I think that actually gives some safety to the whole process. So no, I'm not concerned.
That's Professor Dominic Dwyer, Director of Public Health at New South Wales Health Pathology.